Appreciate what Brother Thomas has brought before us this morning, certainly. In the day in which we live, it's not just among primitive Baptists, but all denominations are experiencing a great falling away. And what does that say? Well, I guess we all have to answer that individually, don't we? Okay? And let it not be us. And I appreciate the exhortation and the lesson that Brother Thomas brought to our attention this morning. It certainly is a good reminder. Brother Thomas has spoken about the church and the blessing we have of the church and his word. I want to speak to you this morning more focused on Christ, but particularly as he is our shepherd. So you probably know where I'm going with this, don't you? Psalm 23. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a favor. I'm going to ask a favor of you. I ask you to participate a little bit here. In just a second, I want you to repeat after me, "The Lord is my shepherd." But I have a reason for doing that. There are some things that are a spiritual barometer. One of the songs that we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." When we sing that song, I try to listen. And as it's being sung, does it sound like a people who's expressing how much they love Jesus, or are they just singing the song? So when we think about the Lord being our shepherd, I'd like for you to say it. See how you feel. How does it affect you? It's a tremendous thought. It's a tremendous song. And the reason I say that is because I think it's spoken of as the most beloved chapter in the Bible, the favorite chapter in all the Bible. And if anybody has memorized the whole chapter of the Bible, it's likely Psalm 23. It's not very many verses, but it sure does say a lot. So repeat after me, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Okay. The Lord. I've been preaching for this chapter for years. Well, I've been preaching for over 30 years, and I have no idea how many times I've tried to use this as a subject. There's a lot of good thoughts in the chapter, but it really sums it up with those first five words, doesn't it? The Lord. Who's your shepherd? Who are you following? What kind of shepherd is he? Is he faithful? Does he really love you? Can he provide for you? Does he know what you need? See, all of those questions are answered in this little psalm. And it's powerful when we understand who our shepherd is. It's the Lord. It's the one who has all power, the one who has all wisdom, the one who can be anywhere he wants to be at any time. You know, we say that the attribute of him being omnipresent, meaning all present everywhere. Elder Marty Smith pointed this out one time, and I really like the way he approached it. He says he's everywhere he wants to be. And he is. You know, I read in the scriptures where the thoughts of the wicked, that the Lord's not in all of his thoughts. And so to absolutely say that he's everywhere, we might have to think about that a little bit. But he's everywhere he wants to be. He can be with you. He can be with you. He can be with me at the same time, all the time, all every day, every night. Amen. He's with us in his spirit. He is with us at all times. That's quite a shepherd. To be all-powerful, all-knowing, His love is beyond what we can describe. His mercy is beyond what we can describe. I need His mercy. I need His love. I need His help. I need His protection. I need this shepherd. Don't you? You know, I'll get to the text in a minute, but you know, when you think about how the Lord uses descriptive words as He's given us His will, when the Lord often, and we find oftentimes in the scriptures that God's people are referred to as sheep. Now, when we think about the Lord's people as being sheep, we have to realize sheep are, it's an interesting study. I need to know more about sheep myself, kind of to appreciate it. There's a book, A Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm. I've forgotten the name of the author at the moment, but it's a short book. It's really good. It has a lot to do about shepherds and information about what all of this means. But what I know about sheep, because I know myself, sheep are needy. Sheep are weak. They're defenseless. They need to be led to pasture. They need to be led to water. They have a lot of needs. How about you? There's times in our lives when we're young and vigorous and we feel like we can do anything. But even in those times, sometimes we're made to realize that we have our needs and we need our shepherd. We need our shepherd every day. And the more we grow in our understanding of His love for us, and the more we grow in our love for Him, the more we can appreciate what David is saying here. Let me read you a little synopsis I found for the 23rd Psalm. David is, now obviously this is by inspiration of the Spirit. So it's not just David's heart, but it's the Spirit giving David what to say when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. But no doubt David's experience as a shepherd and then as king, which in some respects is like a shepherd over a flock, okay, David had a lot of experience in this realm, but the Lord gave him so many psalms, but this one is very special to us. But it's a psalm of gratitude and trust in the Lord about how He provides and protects and guides and blesses us. And so David, from his experience as being a shepherd and then later being a king over Israel, speaks about God's love, His protection, His guidance, His everything that He is for us. And when we get done today, we'll just have scratched the surface as far as all that God provides for us. But I pray that our mind would be stirred, that our heart would be touched by what David has recorded for us and by how the Spirit led him to write this 23rd Psalm. You may know it by heart, but it's good to read it from time to time. It's good to be reminded of all that it teaches us. All right? So in the 23rd Psalm, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know something interesting about sheep and a shepherd? The sheep do not choose the shepherd. Am I right about that? The sheep don't choose the shepherd. The shepherd chooses His sheep. You can go to other places. The Lord Jesus teaching in John chapter 10. Sometimes we refer to John 10 as the sheep chapter. And He talks about His sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Earlier in the chapter, it said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." But it's that shepherd who owns the sheep and who's the one that draws them to Himself. And so when David speaks about "the Lord is my shepherd," He's rejoicing in the fact that the Lord has blessed him to be one of his sheep. There's a relationship there. And when we study the scriptures, we see and we understand that when you understand that God in his eternal purpose to save a people through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we begin to understand why you would find verses like Ephesians 1 and 4, when it says, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Or other such verses where it speaks about the Lord choosing his people. So he is the one who establishes the relationship. And the verse Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, then we find that what that tells us is that God chose his sheep before we even had our being. All right? It's hard for some people to wrap their heads around that thought, but that is the scripture. That is what the word says. All right? So when we understand that God has chosen his sheep, he's our shepherd. The more we understand about this shepherd, the more we understand how glorious it is to be one of his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. All right? The sheep of his pasture. The various ways that the Lord speaks about his sheep, but they're loved. They're loved with an everlasting love. So we're inseparable from our shepherd. All right? And we'll get into other aspects of that. But what a blessing it is to know that we can never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. As the 8th chapter of Romans is closing out, those are the closing words of that chapter, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so the love that God has for us is it's for the sake of his son. When we realize, you know, there's times when we, as sheep, like I started to say a while ago, sheep, sometimes that term, the fact that we're sheep, that's not all complimentary. Because sometimes sheep wander astray. Have you ever done that? Yes, we have. But he gently brings us back into the fold. All right? So when we think about the love that he has for us, it's for Jesus' sake. And Jesus reconciled us totally to the Father. He paid our sin debt. He took our place. He went to the cross and shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. God loved us that much that he would send his only begotten Son to suffer and die to pay for our sins. And to know that he would do that for us, and that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What a blessing that is, that we're his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. In other words, we'll not lack anything. You know, in our day, we use the term want. I want this, I want that, and we want a lot of things. But the meaning of what this is saying is we won't lack for anything. Now, it's because the Lord is our shepherd. Okay? He doesn't leave us to our own. He doesn't leave us alone. He's watching over us at all times. And so there's nothing that we will lack as his sheep. Okay? Because the Lord is our shepherd. When the Apostle Paul was closing out the letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians 4, verse 19, Paul said this to the church at Philippi, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's still for Jesus' sake, all right? But he promised that he will supply all our need. Now, if anybody ever questions that, maybe we have to define what our needs are. Maybe what we have to realize is that there may be things that we think we need that the Lord in his infinite wisdom realizes we don't really need that. All right? So it's a matter of trusting that God is faithful, that God loves us, that he knows exactly what we need, and he has promised to supply all our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Those words are absolutely true. And so as we think about what the Lord does for us each day in providing for us, David would later say in Psalm 37, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Some of my earliest memories of church folks, I also grew up in the church, and we had a couple, sweet, wonderful couple, best I could remember. I was young at the time, but they were very old, and they were very poor, had very little of this world's goods. They didn't have a car. We would pick them up quite often and take them to church. But back in that day, we had lunch about once a month, and we would rotate going from one house to another to have lunch. Some of you grew up doing that. And it always amazed me, though this couple was had very little in the way of means, yet when we had lunch at their house, that table was full. They were blessed with all kinds of food. So when you think about, you know, I had to adjust my thinking as far as what poor really means. They may not have had much of this world's goods, but they had all they needed. And isn't that what the Lord says? I mean, isn't that what this psalm says? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. All right? As long as we're, and by the way, this psalm presupposes that we're going to be looking to the Lord as our shepherd. That we're not going to be looking to the world. We're not going to be looking to ourselves. We're not going to be looking to anyone else. We're looking to the Lord as our shepherd. And when we're satisfied with the shepherd that we have, and when we rejoice in knowing who he is and what he can do for us, and bless your hearts, we can rejoice to know that we are one of his sheep. And though he has many, he is able to supply every need we have. And he's able to take care of us at all times. You know, I've used a number of times, I know you've heard me use this illustration about the sun that all the planets revolve around and they stay in their perfect orbit, you know, because of the forces from the sun and so forth. But that same sun ripens a little bunch of grapes on the vine as if it has nothing else to do. And that's the way the Lord is with us. Though he has multitudes of his people in the world, and they have all their problems, just like we do, yet he has time for each one of us as if he had nothing else to do. That's our shepherd. That's our God. He's able to supply our every need. All right? Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now just get the picture here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, over in the land of Canaan, where the Lord, the land that flowed with milk and honey, okay, the reason that expression that it flowed with milk and honey. The history behind, or the reason that it was described that way, is because it had such lush pasture land that those animals, whether it's sheep or cattle, whatever, that produced the milk, they could produce an abundance of milk because of the lush grazing that was available to them. Okay, and then the flowers had an abundance of pollen for the honey to be made. All right. The point is, when he said he leadeth me beside, I'm sorry, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I mean, this is not just some little bit of stubble that you can, the sheep can gather up a little bit here and there. No, it's green pastures. It's lush grazing. All right? When we're looking to the Lord, when we're trusting in Him, when we're serving Him, I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems, but I'm saying your needs are going to be supplied. God is able to supply all of our needs at all times. And so when we think about this psalm, speaks about the shepherd making his sheep to lie down in green pastures, then they have an abundance of what they need to graze upon. And being lying down carries another idea that they're tranquil, that they're at peace, that they're satisfied. You know, what little bit I've read about sheep is that if they're upset and if they're not tranquil, then they won't graze, they won't lie down. Okay? But this is a picture of God's provision for His people, that He is such a shepherd, and that's the focus of this whole thing. He is such a shepherd that He provides that which we need so that we can be tranquil, that we can be at peace, that we can, as long as we're looking to Him and trusting in Him, He's supplying our needs, and we can be at peace with Him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Then it says He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, again, sheep won't drink from the rushing waters. They look for the still, the calm waters. Okay? Giving you the idea of peacefulness, restfulness. Bless your hearts. Can you rest in your shepherd? See, this is more about the shepherd than it is about the sheep. Yes, it has a lot of benefits here for the sheep, but the focus needs to keep coming back to who is the one that's providing all of this. You know, that's what gives us peace and joy in our hearts, when we give thanksgiving unto God, when we praise Him for who He is, when we thank Him for the blessings we've already received. Bless your hearts. Then there's more joy and peace and rest in our lives. And that's what we need. I tell you, life gets busy, and sometimes life gets hard. And sometimes there's great struggles in our pathway here. But when we're looking to the Lord, we're asking for His help and His strength and His grace and the things that He knows that we need, then we can be at peace. We can be tranquil. We can be satisfied in the Lord, who is our shepherd. He restoreth my soul. You know, sometimes we need some healing. Sometimes our body needs healing. Sometimes we need emotional healing. Whatever the case might be, there's no better place to go for that than to the Lord. Now, I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for the medical help that we have. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to go to the Lord first, okay? And ask for His wisdom and His guidance as we continue to seek whatever help we need. But He needs to be first on our list. And I'm going to tell you something. As far as our soul is concerned, He's the one and only that we need. He alone can provide us with the healing that we need. He restoreth my soul. When we stop and think about all the blessings that we have in the Lord, when we stop and think about the salvation that we have through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that He's able to take care of us, that He can watch over us at all times. When we think of all the blessings that we receive from this wonderful shepherd of ours, I tell you, there's some healing that can come on here. When we need that emotional healing, and we do, think about what Brother Thomas brought to us this morning. When we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, when we forsake going to the house of the Lord, when we forsake hearing what the Lord has put upon the servant's heart who's standing in the pulpit to proclaim the word, I hope that we are praying each day, each day throughout the week, that the Lord would be the one that would be sending the message and not some man just coming up with what to preach. It's what the Lord sends, because he's the shepherd. Pastors are under shepherds, but the Lord is our shepherd, and he's the one that needs to send the message. And when he sends the message, it's good for us. There could be some healing, there's going to be some restoring to our souls when we feed upon those things that he provides. And there's so much more that we could say about this. But he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's so many distractions in this world. There's so many things that can cause us to be busy as we go through our day. Okay? And we're so often tempted. Well, I don't have time to do this. I think Brother Thomas mentioned something about not taking the time to call somebody and encourage, give an encouraging word. And that's true. We need to think about that and lay that to heart and see how we can be an encourager. It doesn't take a lot of time. You could put 40 people on one text and send it just like that. You know, we could do it. Why don't we? Well, I guess we can figure that out later. I think it has something to do with the want to. Okay? Really? All right. So, he leadeth us in the paths of righteousness. The more we read this word, the more we graze, if you will, upon the word of God, and the more we treasure it up, and then not only graze upon it or take it in, you know, a sheep has to lie down in those green pastures and ruminate. Like we would, spend time meditating upon the things that we've read or what the preacher has preached. I hope that some thought is given to messages that are preached, that we think about them and how it applies to our life and how we could improve ourselves by following those things. But that's what it's all about. Sheep would graze, and then they would lie down, and they would ruminate. All right, that's just the way God made them. But to relate that to us as the sheep of his pasture, we need to think about those things that we've taken in, whether it's from our own reading or whether it's from listening to preaching or whatever the source might be. We need to think about it for a while and ask the Lord to help us to understand and to see how that applies to our life and how it could be a blessing, not only to us, but that it might be something that we could take and use it to be a blessing to others. For instance, what Brother Thomas said about taking time to send an encouraging word to someone. All right? That's something that he said. You took it in. You heard it. I hope you heard it. All right? Now, what are we going to do about it? We're going to leave it alone, or we're going to act upon it? Okay? If you think about it and think about what an encouraging word could do to somebody, just like he said, you know, it takes just a minute or two to give an encouragement to someone, but it might be the best thing that happened to somebody else all day. You just never know how much of an influence you can be and how much of a helper. And you never know how heavy the load is with somebody. You know, there may be things going on that they don't even want to talk about. Okay? God has told us to be encouragers one of another. All right? So, he leadeth us in the path of righteousness. His word exhorts us. His word tells us about things that we can do as his children, or as the sheep of his pasture, using the analogy here, things that we can do in that path of righteousness. But he also says, for his name's sake. And you know what's really important for us as sheep? It's really important for us as God's sheep to show to the world we're his sheep. That we're acting like his sheep. That we're walking in the paths that he's leading us. That we're praying for one another. That we're we care enough for one another. That we want to do what we can to be an encouragement to one another. All right? So to be led in the paths of righteousness, to know what we need to do for his sake, so that we can bring glory and honor to this shepherd of ours who's so wonderful. All right? That's what the church is all about. We, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are to be giving glory and honor to his matchless name. Not only for what he did upon the cross, which is tremendous, and we'll rejoice in that, and it has eternal consequences, but every day. You know, we're not in eternity. We're not in heaven yet. And every day we live here, we have the opportunity to show to the world we're the sheep of God's pasture. That he is our shepherd and we shall not want. All right, so he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like this may be it? You ever felt like your troubles were so hard, so strong that, you know, that the thought of death at least entered your mind? Maybe you've never been there. But you might. And this psalm tells us that even, all right, if you haven't been there, you might be there. If you have been there, maybe you already know this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does he say? I'll have no fear. For God is with me. This shepherd is with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll have no fear. Now, we got to qualify that a little bit. There's things that's going to happen in life that's going to cause us to fear. You may get a phone call from your doctor. It's not a good report. You may get some other news, okay? Fear is going to grip us sometimes in our lives. But as we have the opportunity, when we're in those situations, if we can remember our shepherd, if we can remember his power, if we can remember his love, if we can remember the fact that he cares for us more than anybody else, and that we've got the help that we need no matter what we're facing. That's the shepherd we have. And he's able to supply our every need. And you know, I know bad things happen to good people. We live in a fallen world. Sometimes tragedies come. This is all kinds of things that we're going to face. But all the more reason to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. What he has done for us has secured our home in heaven. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I've quoted that several times already, but it's needful as we go through the many benefits that we have from this psalm to remember this shepherd we have can take care of us no matter what. What a blessing that is, that we're blessed to know him and to know that he is my shepherd. I'm thankful that he's your shepherd, but I'm really thankful he's my shepherd. You know what I mean? All right? All right, so though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you hear the faithfulness there? Do you hear the fact that he's promised? God's word promises us that no matter what we're facing, he is with us. And if you're familiar with Romans chapter 8, You also remember that Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Boy, that ought to cause us to shout. If we feel the Lord is with us, if we feel that he's our shepherd, if we feel that he's the one that's taking care of us and watching over us at all times, bless your hearts, if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter who is against us. All right, I'm running out of time, but I want to get to a couple more things here. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd had a rod to protect the sheep from predators. And so he was very skillful in doing that and protecting his sheep. But that staff was also there, not necessarily for protection, but for caring for the sheep. Sometimes they were going astray, and that hook on the end, they could gently pull that sheep back and to, you know, get it back going in the right direction. I've seen pictures of a sheep that was cast or had fallen over the side of a place, and the shepherd's hook could lift that sheep up. Listen, whatever the case might be, know this shepherd loves you enough and cares enough for you. He will take care of you. Whatever the case might be. And when Jesus gave that parable about the shepherd leaving the 99 and going after the one, you know, some people might say, well, that doesn't make sense that he would leave the 99 and go after one. Well, it makes a whole lot of sense if you're the one. If he loves you enough to come and take care of you, all right? So when we think about the love, the care that God has for his sheep, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, he's going to do what he needs to do to take care of us. Boy, I can't emphasize that enough. For us to appreciate this shepherd, for us to appreciate what he does for us each day, and what to appreciate the fact that nothing can separate us from him. The glory of our shepherd. Then he says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Who's going to be interested in that? The fact that he can prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Think about that for just a moment. Who would be interested in that? You know, we could read this psalm, and that might not interest us at all. It might not affect us much at all. The fact that we know the fact that he has the ability to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, I was thinking about this recently, and I never had compared this to another scripture. But do you remember the prodigal son? Do you remember the lesson in the book of Luke about the prodigal? That he took his father's, he asked his father for his portion of his inheritance, and he went out and he wasted it in riotous living. And he got to the place where he realized, well, he got hungry. I mean, and he feigned that he would have eaten the very husks that the swine did eat. And he thought to himself, my father's servants, I'm just giving you my version of, my father's servants have got it better than I do. You know, they've got all that they need. And he was there feeding swine, and feigning to have eaten even the husks that the swine did eat. But when he came to himself, he said, I'll go back to my father. And I'll say, Father, just make me as one of your hired servants. I've sinned against thee. Do you remember the rest of that story? though he had wasted his inheritance in riotous living, when he came back, his father saw him coming from afar off. He had to be looking. He had to be wanting and desiring for that son to come back. And when he did come back, he saw him coming afar off. And what did he do? Did he make him one of the servants and make him serve for the rest of his days? No. He prepared a feast. This young man, and by the way, this parable is a wonderful illustration of true repentance. Someone like a sheep gone astray, someone that had turned aside from the right way, from the path of righteousness, and had wasted their living, wasted their inheritance on riotous living, okay, worldliness. But he came to himself. He was truly repentant. And you know, the scriptures speak about how the Lord responds to that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, we're talking about in true repentance, when we realize that we've done wrong. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We have forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Complete forgiveness. And all he says is, if we confess our sins, and obviously that means if we're in true repentance, true confession, not just saying I'm sorry so that I can avoid some of these consequences. No. True repentance. When we come to that place, the devil would like to tell you, why are you doing that? You've messed up so bad. There's no reason for you to try to make it right with your dad. You know, that prodigal. Do you suppose the devil whispered some of those things in his ears? Do you think he would have been satisfied if he could just been a servant? But bless your hearts, that father received him back as a son. When he was repentant of his sins, he received him back. He had a banquet. He prepared a great feast. He put the ring on his finger. All those things. And bless your hearts, the Lord tells us, thou preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Whatever the need might be, if we're faithful to him, he will continue to provide for us. So we think about how wonderful our God is. The old devil is our enemy. We may have those in the workplace or that we know that there might be those that would just be happy to see us fail so that they could get ahead. You know, there's those kinds of things that happen in the world. But I tell you, one of the biggest enemies we have is ourselves. Okay? And that's what the prodigal had. But the Lord provided wonderfully when he repented of his sins, when he came back to the Father. A great feast was prepared. And by the way, when he says in this verse of scripture, when he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, if you'll search out that word table, it doesn't just mean a meal. It means a big spread, like a feast. God can provide that for us when we come to him in our time of need. If we have those, feel the effect of enemies around about us, God will own us as his child. God will own us as the one that he's taking care of. And he will provide our need. And he will keep us from the effects of those enemies round about us. Anointest my head with oil. We're his. You know, the priests and the prophets were anointed. Kings were anointed. They were set apart for a special purpose. And bless your hearts, the Lord's given us His Spirit. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light that we should show forth His praises. And the greatest, one of the greatest things we can do is praise this wonderful shepherd that we have. Anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Oh, as you think about the blessings. You know, I talked about earlier about how that I had to change my way of thinking as far as what poverty was all about. We're rich in the Lord. We are rich in those good things of life. We have all those blessings that the Lord gives us each day, and He will provide all our needs. And so in the Lord, we are rich. And He says, my cup runneth over. You know, sometimes we don't acknowledge that. Sometimes our mind is on other things, on worldly things or whatever. We may think that we're in poverty or scarcity or whatever. But when we remember the Lord, when we remember what the blessings we have in Him, when we remember all that He provides for us and all that we have to look forward to in heaven's pure world, bless your hearts, we're richer than we can imagine in the Lord, being one of His sheep, Him being our shepherd. My cup runneth over. When we can think about the blessings we have, our cup runs over. And He says, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord does not start loving and quit. You know, we see relationships get busted up and all that in this life, but that's not the way the Lord does. He's a covenant-keeping God. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He sent Christ into this world to save us from our sins. He's going to send Him back to gather us up and take us home to be with Him, because that was His purpose all along, for us to be with Him forever. And if He's ever shown His love to you once, bless your hearts, it's yours forever. He's a covenant-keeping God. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Being one of His sheep, bless your hearts, all of these benefits shall continue. Now, you know, I talked about that rod or that staff. There may be times when we get out of the path of righteousness. We might stray away a little bit, but He has a way of bringing us back into the fold. Okay? And so there may be times when we may feel a little chastening from the Lord, a little discipline from the Lord, but that's done in love. That's done to bring us back to the fold. That's done to bring us back in the right way. Okay? Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The church that Brother Thomas spoke to us about, the house of the Lord, God has given us a place of refuge, a place where we can come and hear of our glorious shepherd. We can hear of what He has done for us and the glory of how that we can never be separated from His love. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I don't want any other house. I don't want any other shepherd. I don't want any other word. I want what God is providing for us in His house, being our shepherd. And I'm quite happy to be one of His sheep. I pray that you'll take these few thoughts about this psalm. Think about it in the years to come. Think about it in the days to come, the years to come. Think about how special it is. How glorious that God has blessed us to know that we're His sheep and that the Lord is our shepherd. May God bless you, is our prayer.